substance to be gone. As Catholics, there's no faith. Yes. I'm sure I've said this to at least some of you. The lectures I was asked by a bishop to give to his priest on the sacrament, remember? When we started with the Eucharist. That's kind of silly. And the two was the Monday after Thanksgiving, a 11-hour bus ride. I got there. I did not get 1 minute of sleep all night. Only two sober people on that bus, the driver and me. Here I am, putting on the board for consecration. On the altar is both the substance and the physical properties of bread and wine. After consecration, I thought to myself, Harden, don't you realize you're teaching priests? But Bishop told me to do it, so I did it. So after consecration, I, under the bread and wine, accidents or physical properties of bread and wine remain. But the substance, that which makes bread and wine, is no longer there. So put a big X. Soon I put the X on the blackboard. A voice behind me said, "You're wrong. The bread and wine remain on the altar after consecration." And the young priest got up. So part of his misguided genius. So I told him, I thought of myself going on the bus coming here. Harden. Why don't you just call him the bishop and tell him you just couldn't get on the plane in time to make it for the Monday morning lecture. Instead, you took a bus. I thought to myself, that's silly. But what you just said, Father, tells me it was worth that sleepless night. And the issue now is deeper than most of us realize. As well as I've said, it was yesterday at the matches we had in another. In all its history, the Vatican does not remember having so many requests for declaration of nullity for the sacrament of priestly ordination, because so many men are now writing to Rome asking to be dispensed from the validity of their ordination. They never really knew what a priest is. And so I cannot tell you how I thank God for your being here. Somebody had better keep the faith, but watch it, better understand what he or she believes. We continue. What does it mean to say that Christ is really present in the Eucharist? Now, just for the record, as I'm sure many of you know, the word real comes from the Latin word res. Res means a thing, something which exists. And the adjective corresponding to the noun, res, Res is a Latin word for thing. Something which exists. The adjective that corresponds to the noun res is realis. What then does real presence mean? It means thing presence. In other words, Christ is present not only by exercising his power, but Christ is present in his own both divine person and human nature. Suppose we answer the question. It means that everything that makes Christ, Christ is present in the Holy Eucharist. At the Council of Trent, it was defined a message, Father Brown is now hearing confessions and do we know where?
In the library, Father, by the gym.
Okay. So, and by all means, you are invited, shall I say, to go to confession. That means that everything that makes Christ, Christ. And the word Christ should be used twice. Makes Christ, Christ, is present in the Holy Eucharist. At the Council of Trent, it was defined that the whole Christ is contained, and two strange words, the whole Christ, totus, the Latin, totus, the whole Christ, and the verb, continator, is contained. Thanks to some charitable soul, there is some orange juice, I think, contained in this, well, is a cup, paper cup. In other words, there's orange juice inside. There's no orange juice outside. I cannot tell you how crucial that verb contained is. Latin, continator. In other words, the external species, the external physical properties, what was bread and wine. In other words, the host. The host, and this is our faith, the host contains Christ in the fullness, I repeat, of his divine person and human nature. And the crucial word is human. Known as God, was present on earth, from the moment he made the world out of nothing. He had to be, otherwise there would be what there was, for Christ, pardon me, for God created the world, nothing. God has been present in the world he made from the moment he made it. And he better remain present in his world, otherwise the world will lapse, including us. It would all vanish, not just out of sight, but out of existence. The only thing that sustains us in existence is God's loving will. God, therefore, is God, had been and would have been on earth. And there would have been no incarnation. That is why, and please, don't forget this. The Eucharist began in the womb of Mary. It was she who gave the second person of the Trinity the flesh. That, well then, she shared with the child that she conceived. When Christ then was born, 9 months later, God, for 9 months, was hidden in his mother's womb, but notice, the incarnate God. The Eucharist is meaningless, zero, absolutely no meaning, unless you see and understand that the Eucharist is the incarnate God. Is a God who has assumed a human nature. Is a God who has flesh and blood and eyes and ears and lips and a human heart. And it is this God become man who is on earth in the Holy Eucharist and in heaven at the right hand of his Heavenly Father. And let me go for a few more minutes, okay? What does the double consecration at Mass signifies? We've touched on this before. In the present Holy Father, John Paul II, who is so clear in reminding us that the Eucharist is a sacrament three times over. It is the sacrifice sacrament of the Mass. It is a communion sacrament of Holy Communion. It is a presence sacrament of Christ's real presence. Now, what we're asking does the double consecration of the Mass signify? It signifies what happened on Calvary when Christ died by shedding his blood on the cross. We may say, therefore, that the Mass is a sacrament sacrifice. I would say, drop the auxiliary verb, may say. We should say, therefore, that the Mass is a sacrament sacrifice. The double consecration signifies the separation of Christ's blood from his body, which caused his death. This is the symbol of what happened on Calvary when Christ, after he died, by being drained of his blood. Christ bled to death. That's how he died. As you've said before, it is not only that in the Mass Christ can no longer die, but is willing to die, and is willing to die is worthy of a double consecration. One more, let me take a break. How does the Holy Eucharist symbolize the unity and charity of the Church, founded by Christ. The Eucharist symbolizes the church's unity and charity because it is mainly through the Holy Eucharist that the members of the church are united with Christ and joined to one another by their mutual practice of selfless love. As I've said now several times, my 50th year in the priesthood, I've never stopped repeating to many people the surest way that you, who are not married, remain married and love one another selflessly until death is by your receiving Holy Communion, then they rinse every day. At times of Mass and reception of Holy Communion is the divine initiative means of practicing selfless, which is called sacrificial love. You don't love someone unless you are ready to surrender your will to the one whom you love. God, give me the grace of celibacy. I'll close with this. I must have said it at least once to some of you. One day in Virginia, I was lecturing, and without a second thought, I told the students, some 60 of them, you know, of course, that celibacy is much more difficult than marriage. Whole class, all eight people, shouted, no! When they told me, Father, we can tell, you're not married. But whether that selfless love is, say, between a married couple or the selfless love of living with Jesuits. Only in heaven will we know which is more difficult. But in either case, use all the grace you can get. And the principal source of that grace is the sacrifice of the Mass and Holy Communion. Thanks for your patient listening. And now, be generous, Father Hardin. Let's make it 10 minutes. If you're a little late, that's okay. I will raise you 3:10. That's the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.